it's about organizations and salespeople when they introduce themselves to their prospects for the first time. They always start with, we do this and we have that. And customers are not really interested in what you have before they can understand what's in it for them. It's really about customer centricity in sales and marketing and really in organizational communications.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi and welcome to the My Future Business Show. I am your host, Rick Nusky, and on today's show, I have Peter Strokorb with me on the line. Now, I'm not sure where you are. Are you in the US or are you in Australia at the moment, Peter?
I'm actually in sunny Sydney in Australia, down under.
Fantastic.
And when I speak to my friends in the US, I always say to them that I'm calling them from the future.
True. That's true enough said. So how have you been, Peter? What's been happening in your world?
Lots of stuff has happened in my world, and I've been battling a battle for some time now that I've finally decided to do something serious about, and that's what I started calling Wee Wee Syndrome.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's Wee Wee, not Wee Wee, so it's got nothing to do with toddlers and babies and nappies.
I was thinking, where's this going?
No, it's about organizations and salespeople when they introduce themselves to their prospects for the first time. Mm-hmm. They always start with, we do this and we have that. Mm. And customers are not really interested in what you have before they can understand what's in it for them from what you have, right? So it's really about customer centricity in sales and marketing and really in organizational communications.
Mm. And it's like a bit of a cancer in the marketing world for novices, isn't it? That they think they have to sell themselves and their virtues, when in actual fact, the customer, like you've just said, is not interested in that. They want to know, what solutions can you bring?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it actually gets drummed into salespeople from the marketing team and from the product managers, that they say, well, our products do this and our software does that and our services are this great, you know, and we have these other customers. And they just echo that and inadvertently turn customers off at the first point of contact.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to come back to all of these things, but what I like to do is open up with a little bit about what Peter is like when he's away from his work life. What do you enjoy doing in your downtime?
Well, I'm a family man. I've got three kids, two of them teenagers, God help me, and one not too far away. Uh-huh. It's quite a lively household, as you can imagine, as a consequence of that. We do lots of sports. There's soccer, tennis. My wife and I would go to the gym and she runs a bit, whereas I'd like to take the car. But what I like is I like cooking and I like entertaining friends and having sort of fine wine and good times. If that doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, that sounds very nice to me. Thank you very much for sharing that. I like to do that because it does give a bit of body to the call. You know, we often talk about business and nothing but business. And I thought, let's be a little bit different on the My Future Business Show. So thank you for sharing a little bit about.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's life beyond work. Definitely.
Yes, there certainly is. So I know that you've been working with boards of directors, business owners, CEOs, sales and marketing leaders, and the list goes on and on and on. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you are doing right now.
Okay, so look, I go back a little bit further, but I'll be quick about it. Mm-hmm. I spent nearly 20 years in the corporate sector working for small organizations like Sony, Canon, 3M, and CSC. Mm-hmm. And I've always... it's always bugged me in all those organizations, regardless of whether they're American, Japanese headquartered or Aussie, that the sales and the marketing teams seem to talk more about each other than to each other. Mm. And the collaboration between these two is not great. And over the years, I've written a book about this phenomenon and I've developed a methodology to combat it. But really, the main thing is that if we can find some common denominator, you know, some way of rallying the two teams together without resolving to like whose fault is it and your leads are no good and that's why we're not following them up, or our leads are great but you're just too lazy to chase them. If we just get away from all that and just focus on one thing, one common denominator, then I think all these problems will go away. And so that's why I've decided to introduce the subject of customer centricity in sales and marketing. You know, and you know, there's research by IBM and partner companies that talk about 87% of CEOs say that their organization is delivering a superior customer experience, yet only 8% of their customers agree. Mm. You know, so there's a lot of self-belief. No, we're already customer-focused here. But in reality, it's more lip service than actual on-the-ground experiences by the customers.
There seems to be that, like that adversarial relationship between the sales and marketing team, even though you're on the inside the same business, isn't it?
Yes, there is. And particularly if you ask salespeople, they say, yes, marketing could support us better. And that's the nicest thing they say. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to marketing people, they go, no, we don't have that problem here. Mm-hmm. And it's purely because of concern that they may be blamed if they did acknowledge the problem is real, right? And it almost reminds me a bit of the Hans Christian Andersen story of the Emperor's New Clothes, you know, where the two tailors from out of town fool the emperor into believing he's got the finest clothes on when in reality he's naked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know.
Yep.
But again, I want to get away from that adversarial relationship. I really want them to work together, and that's why my book is called The One Team Method, because I want them to work together as one team. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I've actually created this list of 10 capabilities that an organization needs to have to make themselves a customer magnet. And it's really a discussion starter and a thought provoker for organizations to start thinking about themselves, like how customer-centric are we really beyond what we tell ourselves we are.
Mm. Now, I've seen this 10 critical action points list that you sent through to me, and it's very comprehensive. How did it come about that you developed this particular document?
Well, I started to think about, you know, when organizations try to sell to customers, it's always we think about how can we sell? Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about us, like we, how can we sell to this customer? How can we make our targets? How can we hit our quota? How can we, you know, get the growth into the organization every month, every quarter, every year?
Yeah.
So it's always about we, hence, you know, we syndrome. But then if you turn it around, you say, what does the customer actually want from us? You know? What if we didn't say, how can we sell this, but if we said, how can we help our customers to buy from us?
Is this something, you know? Is this something that, you know, could a customer be, let's go back to the sales and marketing example, could it be that marketing's department customer is sales, like an internal customer relationship?
They should both be an internal customer to each other. Mm-hmm. And I'll just briefly expand on that, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
And that is, if you have a one-way communication, as is often the case, and as I've experienced and you probably have experienced in your professional life as well, mm-hmm. is that, you know, marketing is responsible for the website and for white papers and collateral. They might generate the odd lead and throw that over the fence to sales and then wipe their hands, you know, and say, that's our job done. Over to you guys. You go now and sell, right? And that then creates the thing where you have this us and them attitude where marketing says, well, our job's done and it's now over to sales to sell, and it's, you know, we've, you know, us and them, like I said.
Yeah.
So what I'm really looking forward to, and what I've achieved in quite a few organizations really to their great success, is to make that relationship bidirectional, and that means that if marketing runs a campaign or has content on the website, then the salespeople will be the most immediate resource in the organization to recognize whether that's working or not, because they're in direct contact with the customer and the prospects. Mm-hmm. Right? So what we'd like is for that intelligence to go back to marketing, so marketing can optimize and tweak their messaging and say, oh, okay, that works better if we say this, or this particular wording works with this particular audience, let's do more of those, you know. And or conversely, where they say, well, this campaign was a total dud, let's not do that again, you know, and we acknowledge that we both help each other. So it's kind of sales helping marketing so that marketing can help sales.
You seem to be knocking down this whole old notion of independent departmentalized silos within the business, aren't you? Getting them to talk to each other.
Yes. Well, if you go back to the 1980s and 1990s, the management thinking of the time was that we need to create centers of excellence, mm-hmm. you know. And so in creating these centers of excellence, we have actually created silos that stop talking to each other. Mm. And now we're trying to break down the barriers again and put Humpty Dumpty back together again, you know.
It's true. That's awesome. I you know, you have 10 critical points. Are they important in any particular order?
Yes, they are. There is an order, although the sequence that I've publicized in the document that you saw is quite a chronological sequence. Mm-hmm. So you say what do you need to have first, second, third. It's not an order of priority, but not only that, they're also slightly overlapping. So for example, you can't have an effective sales engagement without a proper value proposition.
Yeah,
you know. And vice versa. So they are overlapping to some degree, but they're itemized in a logical sequence in terms of chronology.
Yeah. Is this process applicable to any business?
It is, although I focus primarily on B2B, so not retail, mainly on business to business.
Yeah.
And I find that while it does work and has worked with multinational organizations of very large sizes, it's my target audience is more medium-sized businesses between $5 and $50 million, mm-hmm. Simply because they're big enough to benefit from that, and they're not so big that they can't make a decision internally and it all becomes, you know, too hard.
They're still, you know, at that size where they're nimble.
That's right, and they're often more willing to change than those organizations where the barriers have been well entrenched for a long time, and the reporting line extends to overseas, and it's not our job here, and you know,
yeah.
all that stuff that you're getting there.
Yeah, it's funny because I hark back to the old days in corporate world, and I'm hearing this, you know, just it brings back some awful memories.
That's right. I mean, I had this experience with a really large global software vendor, mm-hmm. you know, like one of the really big ones.
Yeah.
The local ones were saying, "Oh, that's a decision that needs to be taken overseas." The overseas ones said, "Oh, that's a too small a problem for us to solve here because we have a global outlook. You know, you're just in little poor old Australia there."
Yeah.
And then even if they were local ones here that had a global outlook, they were saying, "Oh no, that's a local problem, nothing to do with me."
Yeah.
You know, so they're really hampered by their own KPIs because they thought if they get too distracted from what they're doing by doing the right thing for the organization, then they personally would not benefit. You know, so that's exactly what happens in large organizations.
It seems to me that you know, the game of football inside the corporate world is alive and well. Nope, that's not my problem. Here you go, handball.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's you know, a bit of politics come into it, and a bit of you know, personal, dare we say, ego.
Yeah. I also wonder, Peter, about this idea of scope creep, and you know, then it starts to become more of a like a HR role definition, and you know, again, scope. How does your book and your approach come to deal with that side of this equation?
Well, this is why I say I focus on medium-sized organizations, because you really need to have a top-down authorization and approach there. You know, this is not something you can bubble up from the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, an individual salesperson has no hope of changing the status quo. It really needs to come from the top, and that's why I like to deal with boards and CEOs rather than heads of sales and marketing alone, because the temptation of saying, the sales manager saying, "Well, you want to sort out marketing, talk to marketing,"
yeah.
or the sales people saying, "No, we don't," or the marketing people saying, "We don't have the problem here, go away." It's just too high, you know, too large, and so it really needs to have somebody that has a strategic view of the organization and say, "Where do we actually want to go next? What do we want to be when we grow up, and how do we take our business to the next level?" You know,
yeah.
And that's usually the business owner or the CEO.
And that's one of those things, isn't it? You've got to go to the person who has a vested interest in the business and signs the checks, essentially.
Well, and also that have a personal engagement and passion for this sort of thing, you know. And this is why it's so difficult in these multinational organizations, because everybody has so narrowly defined KPIs that they just feel it's not their job, and then the people whose job it is feel that it's not big enough a problem to warrant it, because they've got a million other things to deal with, including quarterly share market reports and stuff like that.
You know, the hard numbers rather than, you know, the relationships between departments.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a little bit. Have you seen that sketch where the Stone Age people pull a cart with square wheels?
Yes, I think I recall it. Yes.
And there's another Stone Age person offering them round wheels, and they go away. We're too busy.
Trying to pull a square wheel cart.
That's right.
And I don't know if you recall the one where the bird at the top, the single bird at the top, and then there's top level management, and then there's middle management, and then there's workers. Have you seen that?
No.
And the shit flows from the top down. And everybody seems to be shitting on everybody else. Excuse my French. It's just, I'll get it and I'll send it to you. I think you get a bit of a giggle out of it.
It's sad but true, isn't it?
I know it is a little bit comedic, but it is a reflection of many businesses that you probably deal with on a regular basis.
Yes, well, but this is why I keep saying I focus on medium-sized businesses, where the business owner is actually the decision maker, or is on the board at least, you know, and there's somebody saying, yeah, let's do this, boys and girls.
All right, I'd love to just touch a little bit on some of these 10 points, especially look at this idea of where did all this content come from? Is it purely marketing at the back of this? What's the premise for this document?
No, the premise for the document is really that we want business owners and business leaders to take a look at their organization with their customers' eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to say, how are you really helping your customer to make a decision to buy from you? You know, because if you're looking, if you're inside the organization looking out and going like, how can we sell this to our customers? Then really you're not customer focused, you're product focused or sales focused, right? And so what this document is trying to do is to actually open your eyes to the perspective of the customer and say, what do we need to look like to be attractive to the customer and to get them the confidence to buy from us and to stay with us and give us a repeat business?
Go ahead. And
that's why I've created the 10 points, because if you don't sort of make it a bit of a list that you can check and you can say where we already well covered, you know, where do we have things under control? Where do we still need a bit of work, and actually what are we still missing altogether? Then you can get a bit of insight into what needs doing, and then you can formulate a plan from there. But if you're every day caught up in the how much can we sell today to as many customers as possible, then you don't get that perspective.
I can see.
And you will get stuck as an organization. You will have initial growth, but then it'll plateau out and you won't know why.
And on that, I was just about to say that medium-sized businesses would come to this point in time where they still want to grow, but then they suffer these growing pains because maybe they don't know these 10 steps.
Well, look, I can give you a concrete example. I won't name names, but there's an organization I'm dealing with that were coming to me and said, look, we want to grow to the next level, and can you help us? And I said, yes, and here's a plan. Mm-hmm. And then they went and hired 3 new salespeople, you know. And I said, guys, did you think this through? Because they're saying, oh, but we've got more sales now with the new salespeople. And I say, yeah, okay, you will get an initial hit in revenue, but you haven't solved the fundamental problem of that you're still in inward-looking mode and trying to sell outwardly instead of taking the organization to the next level, making it customer-centric and attracting and retaining business, you know, because we know that it's much easier to retain a customer than to win a new one. And if you gain their trust and give them a good experience, they have no reason to go anywhere else, you know. So this organization has decided to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result.
That's the definition of madness, isn't it?
It's attributed to Einstein, and I don't really know whether he actually said it, but no. it's a good one.
I always think of him, but look, if anybody's listening to this and you're a small to medium-sized business, it's definitely sage advice to really look at both your internal customers and your external customers, and look at where you're going in terms of, hey, look, do we have the necessary tools that we need? And if you don't, I'd suggest reaching out to Peter. Where can people find you? I want to talk a little bit about your book next, but where can people find you?
The easiest is if you just go to peterstrokhop.com. Mm-hmm. So that's PeterStrokhorb.com. Mm-hmm. And that's where you find the list of these 10 action items as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at all of your website. I always do this prior to the call, and there's lots of information there that's free to download, free to access, and you know, some of the stats on this site are just blow away. I'd love to just ask you a little bit about, how did this Australia/US relationship develop for your business?
Oh, okay. So, you know how the saying that the harder I work, the luckier I get?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
so it was a bit like that. I met this American-based CEO in Sydney.
Yep.
And we were both doing a customer centricity program. And we got to talking, and I said, why did you come all the way from America to Australia to do this program? And he said, because it's a great program, and it's a thing that we also offer, a service that we offer is an initial assessment of how customer-centric is your organization. Mm. You know, how ready are your people to make the organization customer-centric, right? And it's an initial assessment, and he was so taken with that he wanted to take it to North America.
That's amazing.
But yeah, and obviously it means that there's no such thing over there, right? Mm-hmm. Now he runs a medium sized consulting firm out of Dallas in Texas.
Yep.
And he wanted to broaden his horizons into customer centricity, customer experience. And we got to talk about but what do you do after? You know, you've done the assessment, and then what?
Mm.
And so I said, look, here's a methodology called the One Team Method that you can just pull off the shelf and apply to anybody who's done the assessment, and you've got something else to sell to them and retain the engagement, you know? Mm. And so we struck a deal, and we had signed a licensing agreement whereby they would license my methodology into the US market. But the reason I came up with this list of 10 action items is that it's really a highly condensed version of the book, and it gives people this this checklist for themselves. So this sort of self-assessment opportunity to just in 5 or 10 minutes to see where they're actually at in their business and what the opportunities are for growth.
I can see what's happening now. So you're using this this checklist as the conversation starter, as opposed opposed to the book, which is more in depth.
Yeah, because you know, in all honesty, Rick, what happens if I send the book? They go, okay, give me a couple of months to read this, and then come back to me.
And you lose it.
And I don't want to do that. So I just say, look, here's a quick thing, and then if you're interested, there's a book as well. So yeah. It's I don't start with the book any longer.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to me, given what I'm learning, to be one of those, you know, start here, finish the whole book, then implement. Is it one of those, you know, go back to an update with yourself?
Exactly. And of course, you know, with 300 pages, the book is much more comprehensive than the 10-point list.
Mm.
But you don't need to read the book to benefit from the method.
No.
You know, it's because the method exists and we can implement it, and I can probably tell you in 15 or 20 minutes what needs doing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to spend like a couple of weeks reading my book. But you can, of course, if you want to, and it's available in all good Amazon stores.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. It looks as if here you've got a 5-star rating for this book. So if anybody who's listening and wants this book, first touch base with Peter at PeterStrokhorb.com. Peter, it's been an absolute joy having you on the show today. I'm sure we could go through each and every of the 10 steps and talk about it in far more detail. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'd love to invite you back onto the My Future Business Show one day.
And I'd love to be back, Rick. Do you mind if I just say one thing?
Absolutely.
As a bit of an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about your value proposition and you articulate your value proposition as a business, not you, Rick, but your listeners.
Yes.
Think about whether it's about you or about your customers, you know. And one way to tell really easily is if you go to your own website and look at the About Us tab, if every word every sentence starts with either we, us, or your company name, then you really need to take a look at the 10 action points list.
That's some great feedback there, Peter. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I better go check my about page. look, Peter, I've had a really fun time, and thank you again for being on the My Future Business Show today.
No, thank you, Rick. It was a pleasure being here. And please tell your listeners that I'm happy to link in with them if they want to.
It's been fun having you on the call with us today. Now click on that big red subscribe button and make sure you leave us a comment, share us with your friends, and join the growing list of leading entrepreneurs who have enjoyed their time on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.